I mean, this morning I want to teach you a little bit about faith. And we're going to read just a few verses to start with from Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Now this morning I will need your participation, so don't go to sleep. I will know if you're going to sleep because you won't answer me. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 12. And the Bible says here, it says, "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs." Now Jesus and his disciples were going from Jerusalem, from Bethany. They were going from the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Now we touched on Mary and Martha a little bit on Wednesday evening. Now don't forget Mary and Martha and Lazarus, these three, two sisters and a brother, were close friends of Jesus. And whenever Jesus was in the Jerusalem area, he often resided at the home of these three siblings. And on this occasion, we know, it says here, the scripture tells us in verse 12 that this was the day after Jesus rode triumphantly into Jerusalem. And you know what happened on that day? How they waved the palm leaves and they laid them down and they cried out and shouted, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And this, it says, is the next day. So Jesus, after that triumphant entrance into Jerusalem the day before, he's gone back to Bethany, the home of Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. They spent the night, and it says the next day they were coming out of Bethany, going back into the city. And it says as he was traveling, as he was journeying into Jerusalem, he felt hungry. Now Jesus was, a lot of people say, well, they think of Jesus as the Son of God. Yes, he was the Son of God. And you think, well, because he was the Son of God, he never felt tired. He never felt hungry. He never felt weary. And yes, he did. He wasn't God on the earth. He was a man. Amen. He was just like you and me. Amen. He got weary. He got tired. He got hungry. And it says here, he was hungry. And he saw in the immediate distance, he saw a fig tree. And the Bible tells us that he went up to this fig tree looking for something to eat. But when he arrived, when he came to it, verse 13, it says he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And then Jesus spoke to this tree. He saw there was no figs, there was nothing to eat on the tree. And so he directed his words to the tree, and he spoke to the tree, and he said these words. He says, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And at the end of verse 14, look at the last sentence there, after the red words, where the words of Jesus said, "And his disciples heard it." So Jesus spoke to this tree and his disciples heard him speak. Verse 15 tells us that they went on into Jerusalem. Now I'm going to skip what happens in Jerusalem for now. Because at the end of the day, Jesus returned to Bethany. Verse Verse 19 says that. When evening had come, he went out of the city. And although the Bible doesn't tell us, I'm pretty sure Jesus went back to Bethany, because in verse 20, they are taking the same road. Because the next morning they were going back to Jerusalem, and Peter notices that this tree which Jesus had spoken to the previous day had perished and died. It says here, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So the next morning, they're going back into the city of Jerusalem, coming up out of Bethany, and they're just, I don't know, talking amongst themselves, minding their own business, walking into Jerusalem, and as they get to the fig tree where Jesus stopped the previous day to look for figs, Peter looks at this tree, he goes, "Wow," he says, "Master," he says, "the fig tree you cursed yesterday has died." Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm not expecting an immediate answer, but just think about this. When did this tree die? Because in the evening of the previous day, no doubt they took the same road back to Bethany. There is no mention in the scriptures that Peter suddenly saw, "Hey, Lord, look, that tree you spoke to this morning has died." Maybe it was still as strong and looking as healthy as it was in the morning, full of green leaves. So when did this tree die? The fig tree died the very moment Jesus spoke to it. So why wasn't it withered in the evening? Maybe it was, and they didn't notice it. The actual manifestation of this fig tree, the death of this fig tree, didn't occur until the next morning. But the fig tree died the moment Jesus spoke to it. What was actually happening here, the word of God, the word that came out of Jesus' mouth, was working unseen until the manifestation of it. It was working below the ground, attacking the roots. Because that's what actually the scripture says in verse 20. It says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Amen. So the word was attacking. The word Jesus spoke was attacking the roots of the tree from the moment they left his lips. Very often, when we stand on a word of promise from the scriptures, how many of you know from experience that, I don't know, maybe, let's take healing for an example. Maybe you've got a pain in your body, and you stand on a promise of scripture which says that the Lord has healed you, and yet that pain lingers for a while. It doesn't go always instantly. Sometimes it does, thank God. There's an instantaneous healing. But sometimes these things take time. Do you know, one of the worst things we can do when we're standing in faith is go looking for the answer. Because we go looking, oh no, the pain's still there. And then we say, well, maybe my prayer didn't work. Maybe God's not hearing. Maybe he's not. I'll have to pray again. That's one of the worst things we can do when we're standing in faith. Go looking for the answer. Because doubt comes if we don't see a change instantly. A farmer, when he plants seeds in the ground, he plants the seed. He doesn't wake up the next morning and go rushing out into the field and say, "Oh, where's my plants? Why haven't they grown?" He knows that when you put the seed in the ground, you know, the moment the seed goes in the ground, it starts to work. But when does the little shoot come up above the ground? Quite a while later. Well, quite a while, a few days later, depending on the type of seed you've sown. It doesn't immediately become a full-grown plant. It takes time. The growth process starts immediately, yes. As soon as it goes into the ground, the growth process starts. But then the seed begins to put out roots. It germinates. Then it puts out a little shoot. And still, so far, it's below the ground. And a few days pass by, but the growth is taking place. Now, you don't go, when you put something in the ground, a seed, you don't go out there and because it's not showing above the ground, you start to dig it up to see if it's working. No, you leave it. You continue to water it. You continue to, let's take its time. And then you get all joyful and excited when you start to see the little green shoot pop up through the soil. But then still it's got time to grow, to become the plant that you were expecting. So it's a little while before there's any physical evidence above ground of this seed growing. So it's the same when we're standing on the word of God for something. Sometimes there is a process where God's word is at work in our lives, changing us. Maybe the word is dealing with the root of the sickness that's in our body. Or it's dealing with the working on our love, or working on our joy, or it's working in us. And then there's a process of time. We don't go digging it up to see if it's working. Like we don't dig up seeds to see if they're growing. What we've got to do is wait on the word. Allow God's word to work inside of us, unseen. Then, eventually, we will see the manifestation of the promise. The manifestation of that word as it works. And that's what was happening here for this fig tree. Yes, Jesus spoke a word to it. He says, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. That moment, the process or the tree died. But it took time for the roots to dry up, and obviously once the roots had dried up, then the leaves began to wither on the tree, and it was evident that the tree had died. And then Peter remarks on it the next morning as they're walking into the city, and Jesus began to teach them, which we'll come back to in a moment, where he says, look, he says, what you've got to do is have faith in God. Now, I want to share with you this morning, in these few minutes, a little bit about faith and what I'm calling the blueprint of faith. You know what a blueprint is, yes? Who doesn't know what a blueprint is? A blueprint is an image that normally an architect will draw up of maybe a building, or it might be the plans for a piece of equipment. And what is he, the designer or the architect, sees this image and he starts drawing the plans and he puts it all together, and then he gives it to a builder or an engineer who start to work according to the plan and build the product or build the building. So a blueprint is an image or a picture of the expected outcome. It's what the designer expects to see when it's in physical form. Now, I said I wanted your participation. If I say to you this morning, I'm going to put a word out into the atmosphere, and I want to know, what are you thinking about? So if I say the word car, what immediately comes into your thought process? Give me some feedback. A road. A bus. What are you thinking of a car? It's not a catch. It's not a trick question. How many of you are thinking about the word C-A-R? Just one. We do not think in words. We think in picture form. So when I say car, immediately in your mind or in your brain, you either saw an image of a car or you saw something, and that helped your thought processes. Because pictures help us understand what we read and what we hear. Okay, let's go back to the theme of the car. Let's assume that you are walking down the road, a car pulls up alongside you, and the driver of the car suddenly, it doesn't happen often here in Malta because it's so small and everybody knows where everything is, but in some of the bigger countries they might, and the bigger cities, they might say, can you tell me how to get to this place? Maybe the post office, the bank, the library, the police station, the garage. Can you tell me how to get to this place? What do you immediately do? If you know where the place is, tell you what you do is you begin to give the directions. What you actually do is you visualize in your mind, you say, oh yes, it's down the bottom of this street, you've got to turn right, then you've got to turn left, and you are picturing the journey as you're giving the directions, because you're thinking in picture form. Okay. Words, when we speak words or we read words or we hear words, they draw pictures in our mind. And the more words you hear, the clearer the picture becomes. Now what I'm going to do is a little exercise with you. And I want you just to, just sort of empty your mind of every other thought at the moment. Because I'm going to do a little exercise, it's going to just show you how a picture will change depending on the words you hear. This is not anything, I'm not trying to brainwash you or do anything like that, it's just an exercise. First of all, I want you to think of a dog. Think of a dog. Any dog. At this moment in time, you are probably thinking of your dog. Or a dog that you know. No, that's the likelihood. If you own a dog, you are thinking about your pet. Now I'm going to add a few words to this picture. And what I want you to do is, if your picture changes in your mind, I want you to put your hand up. Okay? If it doesn't change, you can keep it down. The dog is a brown dog. Has your picture changed? Because maybe you were thinking of a black one or a white one. Okay, this is a brown dog. This dog is not just a brown dog, this is a light brown dog, a sandy coloured dog. Okay. If your picture changes, put your hand up. This dog that you've pictured in your mind has a white chin and neck. Hand up if it's changed. Okay. The white colour of this dog extends to his belly and to his front legs. Has your picture changed? Yes? The rear legs of the dog are the same color brown as his back. Has your picture changed? But this dog looks like he's wearing white socks on the back of his rear legs. His paws are white and they extend up his legs. Has your picture changed?
Yes.
Okay. The dog has a white tipped tail. Your picture, is it still the same or has it changed?
Changed.
Okay. Your dog does not have long hair. So has your picture changed?
Yes.
Okay. So he's a short-haired dog. The last one I'll do for this. Your dog is not fully grown. He's still a puppy.
Uh-oh.
Has your picture changed?
Yes.
The more words you hear, the picture changes. And that's important because when we are standing on the Word of God, the more we hear, it distorts the image. So if we are standing on a promise of Scripture where it says that the Lord has given you your family down to 1,000 generations. A And you start listening to other things, other words, not from the Word of God. It distorts the image that is being painted on the inside. The blueprint is changing. The information you receive affects the image that you're seeing. So when you're standing in faith for something, maybe the salvation of a loved one, maybe the healing of a pain in your body, or you're wanting to change, you're believing God for a change of situation. You get this image and you find the scripture and you meditate on it. You keep going over it. And the picture is being drawn by the Holy Spirit inside. The blueprint is being written or drawn. And you get, and you see yourself. Now this is not to do with mind over matter or anything like this, but you begin to see in your spirit a picture of what you're expecting. So if you start listening to other sources of information, other people that say, well, that doesn't work. God doesn't want to do that for you. That's not what the scripture teaches. You start to distort the image that you are seeing. And you are going to get a manifestation of your blueprint when you're standing in faith. So if your blueprint changes, the expected outcome will change. So as we hear God's word, that image is created. If our bodies are sick, we go to scriptures which talk about health and healing. And we meditate on them. Allow God's word to create the blueprint. Allow what God says to draw the picture. So that we get to the point in our walk with God where all we can see is this image of a healed person. If you're looking for a new job and you know this is God's will for you. Now, you might struggle to find a scripture which actually says about a new job in itself, but just go with what God, the promise God has given you. Stand on it. Don't be affected by other voices, other things you hear. Allow the picture to be drawn. Allow the blueprint to be created. Start to see the expected outcome of that blueprint. Yes, we use that term. You know, when we understand something or we grasp something, we use the term, I see. I see it. I understand it. I've got it. I've received it. I've understood it. I see. Yes, no, this is what the scripture says here in Romans 10:17. You know that scripture, this well-known scripture, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we hear the word of God, or we're meditating on this word of God, we're going over it, we're going over it, we're hearing it, we're hearing it, we're hearing it, we're hearing it. The picture is being drawn. Our faith takes that blueprint, that image, out of the spirit and brings it into the natural. Because we suddenly see the manifestation. Now it might take a process of time. Like in this case, in the scripture, in Mark 11, it was just a day. 24-hour period. Jesus spoke to it in the morning. By the next morning, there was the physical manifestation. Now, for some, it might take a little longer. But we stand on the word of God. The blueprint, or the word, is working inside of us, creating the expected outcome. Isn't that what the... I'll get onto it in a minute, but isn't that what the scripture says, where it says the word became flesh and dwelt among us? For centuries, hundreds, thousands of years, God was speaking the word. The picture, the blueprint for the coming of Jesus was being drawn. And then all of a sudden, at the right time, when the blueprint was ready, there was a physical manifestation. Jesus was born of a virgin. He came in the fullness of time, at the right time, not a day early, not a day late. So, as the word was being spoken, the picture was being drawn. Do you know, this shouldn't surprise us. This is something that happens in the natural. And in science. Now, I'm not very scientific when it comes to these things. I've had to look this up. But if you think of the old it's slightly different process now with in the digital age. But if you think of the old camera, when you see a scene or you see something that you want to take a photograph of, you get the camera, particularly in the old one which had the film inside. You pointed the camera at the image. You pressed the shutter button on the top of the camera or on the side of the camera. The light came in through that hole in the front of the camera, through the lens, and it burnt an image on the film. Then, in those with the old film cameras, then you have to take the film from the camera, pass it through liquids, and develop that into an image that you can see. Now, let's look at this in the light of God's Word. As we read and as we hear and meditate on the Word of God, the light comes through the aperture of our spirits. It comes through our ears, through our eyes, into our hearts. The image is created on our spirit, like on being burnt onto the film. And what faith does is just develops it out of the spirit into something we can see. That's how we were born again, that same way. We received the Word of God. It went in through the apertures, our eyes, our ears, however we heard it. It went down into our spirits. An image of a born again person was being drawn. Then faith in the Word of God developed that, and we received that salvation experience. God did something. The manifestation began to take place. So this is what Jesus was going on to say in Mark 11. He's talking about how God worked. How God was working. Now, I said earlier on, talking about that scripture in John 1 verse 14, where it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among. You know, when we think of it in the light of the camera, we said, well, actually we can understand a little bit how God works. He speaks a word. Right back in the days of creation, God spoke a word. The Holy Spirit, the blueprint was drawn. Now this happened in milliseconds. The blueprint was drawn. The Holy Spirit brought that blueprint from the Spirit, from the Word, into reality. It happened with the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now it took a period of several thousand years as God spoke the Word. He painted the picture. He was speaking through the prophets, through the sages of the Old Testament, speaking his word. And then the time came for the blueprint to be brought into manifestation. Jesus was born. Jesus went on to explain to his disciples, verse 22, Mark 11, 22, he says, have faith in God. He's teaching them here a lesson. Then he says, verse 23, he says, for assuredly I say to you, you know, be sure of this one thing. That's what Jesus is saying. He says, you can be certain of this. Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever, does that include you? Was Jesus just talking to his disciples? When Peter, James and John, when they finished and they'd gone, that was the end of what Jesus was saying?
No,
it says, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So if I suddenly say, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to take my salary this month. I'm going to go down to the casino. and I'm going to put all my salary on in the casino, and I should never have to work again. And I keep saying, is that what Jesus is saying?
No.
But that's what I'm saying. No, because this is based, this is what God said. It's God's word on our lips. What should... Well, if God says it, and we say it, and we don't doubt in our hearts, and we keep standing on it, the blueprint is being drawn. Why? It's not our words, it's His words. You know, the word out... God's words on our lips are just as powerful as God's words on His lips. Did you know that? Why? Because we are His children. We're born again of His Spirit. We are one with the Lord. We are family. There's no difference. We have the DNA of God in us. We are a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything has become new, the Bible tells us. So it's important that we speak the word of God. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, you know what that means? That means you don't change what you're saying. The word doubt comes from the root word meaning two. You can't have two voices going on. You've got to have one voice. You're hearing one thing, the word of God. You're not listening to another source. You're not listening to somebody else's opinion. What does God, however good, however well-intentioned those other people might be, at the end of the day, it's what God says that counts. Your words, based on the word of God, create the blueprint. So you don't change your words while the word is at work. You don't go digging up the seeds. You don't go looking to see whether it's working or not. Well, I've been standing on that word for 3 hours and it hasn't happened. Just keep standing. Keep allowing the blueprint to be drawn. I've been standing for 40 years. Keep standing. You're closer to your manifestation now than you were 40 years ago. You're closer to the miracle. Don't give up. Don't dig up the seed while it's growing. Don't dig up the word while it's producing. Because it will produce. I'm going to finish with a scripture. If you come with me, if you can give me Isaiah 55, please, Chica. Isaiah 55. And verse 11. How many of you know this is the word of God? Before. And God says something about his word in Isaiah 55, verse 11. It says, so shall, you can see it on the screen if you don't have a Bible, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, empty, unproductive. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Now, it is possible if we keep changing what we're saying, that God's word may return to us void. It may return to us empty. It may not produce. Why? Because we're changing the blueprint all the time. But if we stick to what God says, his word that's gone forth from his mouth. Now, it's gone forth from his mouth. We're taking it from the book. We're putting it on our mouth, our lips. It shall not return to me void. If it's not going to return to God void, it won't return to us void either. But it will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So be encouraged, brothers and sisters, to stand strong on the word of God. Amen.